What is up, our friends from the internet? Once again, it's time for the Tech Yeah Games podcast, a very exciting episode.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this one all week.
My name is Tony. I'm here with my co-host, Leo.
Who's happy to be here?
I'm happy to have you here, Leo.
Yeah. It's a lot to talk about.
A lot happened this week. So, you know, initially this was all going to be just like what happened at E3, right? Like, our last show we recorded after Summer Games Fest, so we had a lot of that. But, you know, we hadn't said anything about the following conferences: Ubisoft, Xbox, Nintendo. But then a lot of other stuff happened. A lot of political stuff happened, which is going to take us into a dark, dark place, which I'm really excited for.
Well, hopefully it won't be too dark.
No, super dark. The darkest of places.
Oh, wow. It's going to be a ride.
It's going to be quite a ride. But before we get into all of that darkness, Leo, why don't you show what you've played this week?
I played a lot of games this week, but I'll just try and run through them quickly. I played Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Okay.
I got it for like...
Oh,
I
think that's a choice.
For like, well, I liked the first one, sort of. Like, I like the idea of it.
Wow, what a...
Despite its...
What a fucking endorsement.
No, I mean, I played it a fair amount, but there were performance issues, and I was just like, fuck this. So I thought maybe a new one would have worked those out. And I kind of know what I'm getting into. Like, it is profoundly stupid. But it's also mechanically pretty fun. Like, there's a lot of interesting divergent gameplay, and like, you can attack situations in really different ways, and in a way that's pretty unique, even for an open world game. But it's just too Ubisoft, man. It's like I talked about with Assassin's Creed, the negative stuff about that. It's only that. It's like, this is a social experience with 50 million icons. And I'm like, wow, okay, thanks, bye. I played it for like, I think, an hour, and it was horrible, and I uninstalled it. I think I got it for like $3, though, so it was a very minor investment. But if I had paid $60, I can understand why it got such low review scores. It's pretty disappointing.
A lot of bad games out there, man.
Yeah.
A lot of real stinkers.
I'm really trying my best to like give a game a chance, but really a pretty brief chance. Because there's a lot of games out there, man. And like I really do try and go in with an open mind like I do with this. And sometimes you get burnt.
Yeah, sometimes you do get burned, that's for sure.
I played some more Zelda, you know, Link Between Worlds. I'm still working through that. Still charming as ever, really fun. And then I played this game, it's called Dusk. I think I may have talked about it. It's really fucking awesome. It's like a 90s style FPS with that awesome pixelated art style that I'm such a sucker for. But it was one of those occasions where I'm like, man, I want something mindless but challenging with cool music. And I was going through my Steam library. You know how it is when you're like, I know I want to play something, but I don't know what it is. And I found that and started playing, and it really clicked immediately. And was like, yes, this is exactly what I was looking for.
That looks scary. I'm looking at screenshots, and that's real scary.
It's not scary, but actually it does have a cool vibe where it's like really goofy, but also really dark at the same time. I love that vibe. It's like kind of, it's very 90s, but it's also very elegantly designed, and obviously it runs really well. And I think it's great. Very fast paced, great music.
I see skeleton men's. I see evil farmer guy, scarecrows. Yeah. I'm spooked.
Yeah.
I'm too spooked for this one.
Yeah, it's very intense. It's like Quake, you know, but I really like it. I'm just blazing through. I think I got through the first like act in 2 hours. So anyway, yeah, it's fun. But the game I played a lot of, and a game I'm looking forward to talking to you about, is Demon's Souls for the PlayStation 5. You heard about this game?
Well, look who's Soulsborne now.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. What do you think so far? How far are you right now?
Oh, well, it's hard to gauge how far you are, right? Because it's such a bizarrely sort of open-ended game. I got through 1-1. I figured out how to fucking upgrade, which it doesn't tell you. You have to essentially beat the first boss before you can do anything.
Do anything, yeah.
And so, yeah, the whole game is like that in that it's quite inscrutable. But I think your advice that you gave me last week was excellent, and I'm very grateful for it, which was just like, just look shit up. Honestly, like if you try and figure out that game exactly like you said and just smash your head against it until you like figure stuff out, I really think it would be a hard game to have a fun time with. But if you just kind of be like, yeah, I'm going to die constantly and I'm just going to look up everything, every item. This enemy, what's its weakness? How do I get that? And like that leads you down all these strange rabbit holes of like, well, if you get this ring, it gives you this. And you can combine this item with this, and that'll give you resistance against this boss. You know, it's very much about builds and equipment in a way that It's not just about like timing and parrying and rolling. It's really about your build and what you use. And once that clicked, it's still very challenging and pretty inscrutable. And a lot of ways it does feel very old. For example, like the way you have to run through the dungeon to get back to the boss every time. Like it's not, yeah, it's not challenging or fun. It's just annoying and a waste of time. So little things like that feel a little punitive in a way that doesn't add to the experience or the difficulty that makes it fun. The only other sort of criticism I have is, I think I said this about Sekiro, for a game that really does demand pretty precise input and pretty specific kinds of gameplay, which is fine. I think that's a strength of it. It's still janky sometimes in a way that's like, hey man, it's got to go both ways. If you're asking me to be precise, you have to be precise too. I think the best example of that is like the lock-on system is awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's so bad. Like sometimes it works when you don't have line of sight. Sometimes you'll have perfect line of sight and it won't work. The distance completely varies. Like I swear to God, sometimes I'll be able to lock on someone from far away and sometimes I have to be right next to them. It'll break lock on like when they're still directly in your view and you move to the side. And that shit is really irritating for a game because they never have any trouble locking on to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I honestly like wouldn't rely on lock on. Right. Like, yeah. I think it's in general, it's not a good thing in that game. You know, I think if you're casting spells or whatever, like, yeah, lock on.
That's what I'm doing.
Right. And so in that sense, sure. Right. Like lock on. But most of the time when I played that game, I just used big two handers. So you'd have wide sweeping attacks and just kind of aim at the right direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not because lock on will fuck you up a lot too. Right. Yeah, like,
sure does.
Like, even when you do get locked on and you're fighting the right opponent, like, it gets you twisted up in your movement in a way that is detrimental sometimes to getting through situations, right? Where this isn't really the direction I wanted to move, and now I fell off a staircase, or, you know, something like that happens, and you're like, man.
Yeah, and it can fuck with the camera in really ways that can kill you very quickly.
But, yeah, to your earlier point, yeah, like, when I said look things up, like, the game is massively more fun if you know that, like, oh, if I go down the staircase or break through these boxes, like, there's a cool fight here or a cool piece of story and a cool piece of gear that's going to make the rest of this game so much better, right? And hoping to just stumble into those things or make the right choice left or right every time that to make the game, like, at its best, like, its best experience is... it's a fool's errand, right? Like, it's just so much better to know, like, oh, like, this, or if I go down this tunnel, like, there's a real tough dude, but if I beat him, I get something real cool. So maybe I want to try, like, you know, maybe I'm down to challenge him a few times. There's a fire, like, close. It's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that really, I think, adds a lot to the game.
I agree 100%. Like, once you make the decision that, yes, you're going to die a lot, and so you just have to stop being frustrated. Like, in a way, it's kind of a chill game in that I'm playing it very slowly because I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to die. I'm not expecting to progress in any meaningful way when I play it. It's much more about exploring and looking stuff up and, like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like reading a manual before you really play the game, which sounds really negative, but it's not. In a way, it's kind of liberating, and it makes it very surprisingly, like, relaxing because I'm like, yeah, I know I'm going to die, so I don't give a shit when I die. It's more like, ooh, look at this. I haven't seen this before. I wonder what that is. You look it up, you're like, ooh, it's part of this set. If I piece this together with this, I'll, like, be able to regenerate MP, and then I can use my spell against this goddamn armored spider that keeps fucking killing me.
Yeah, and then you know it's all doable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that, too. Like, I think a lot of times, like, I wouldn't say my issue with those games, but I think a lot of times the frustration is, like, you see, like, a staircase, and you climb the staircase, and you see, like, a crazy knight at the top of that staircase. This is all,
or a big-ass dragon.
Or a big-ass dragon. And you're just like, this is telling me not to go this way, right? You know, like this is an indicator that, like, I can't do this yet, right? Like, I got to go the other way. And you go the other way, and maybe it's fine, and you progress the story. But, like, when you, like, look it up, you're like, oh, like, I can sneak through there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if I
need a thief's ring and then go just on the right side. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I can fight this dude. Like, he's not that tough. He's real slow. Yeah. You know, he's not as tough as a boss. And you're like, you know, like, in my normal gamer sense, I'd be like, I don't want to die. I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to smash my face against something that seems insurmountable when I could just, when there's another direction to go. Right. And maybe you shouldn't, right? Like maybe the guide will say, you don't go there yet. You know, like that's not where you're supposed to be yet, but maybe you should, you know, and I think that knowing that and having that binary choice kind of made for you and being, and knowing when these things are achievable. It's such a better way to enjoy that game.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, really, it's just like you said, just look stuff up. Just don't be afraid to be like, how do I beat this boss? Because the reason that's fun is because then it's like, oh, I need a flame resistant shield if I want to do it this way. I wonder how I get that. And then that'll send you off a fun little quest to, like, you know, it just makes it, it shows off the intricacies of it, and it makes it not really accessible in that it's like cheating or looking up how to beat it, because there is no one way, but it just, it gives insight into sort of the web of how the game actually operates. And it operates very differently than most games. I know this is probably very irritating to people who are very experienced with Soulsborne games, because it's like, yeah, no shit. But there's something really fascinating about seeing like the progenitor of it. It's faults as well, but overall it's like, it's really cool. And I'm enjoying learning about it. I don't know how far I'll get, but I'm definitely having a really good time playing at it. And I will say, the character creator, it was very easy to make a cool looking character, which is not the case for any other Soulsborne game I've played. So kudos to Bluepoint.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I just think that they are such unique, interesting games, right? Like even if you're not interested in beating them or challenging, or putting tons of hours into them. Like, I think just the nature of those games in this space is so neat, right? Like, it's just such a cool thing to have. And so, you know, I'm all about it.
It's a very, it's just a different framework for game design. And I know it's like kind of a meme now at this point, cause there's been so many, but it's like, it still feels fresh and cool. Last thing I'll say about it really, really made me want to be able to play Bloodborne in 60 FPS. Yeah. Cause I just like that whole vibe of that game more, and like kind of the look of it and the weapons. I can't play it now. Like it runs so poorly that, If they, I know people have been saying this, but it's true. If they got that game running at 60 FPS, I don't know, man. I think I could like really lose myself in it. But
think how many copies they would sell on PC for that game.
Yeah. Like, or PS5.
It would just explode. Or PS5. But if they made a PC port with like
insane
uncapped frame rate, it would just like,
yeah,
it would be nuts.
It'd be number one.
Best selling game of the year or something, right? Like, it's shocking. It's shocking. The only way to play that game is on a PS4 that seems to hate it.
Yeah.
You know, like it runs it like it fucking hates it.
Yeah, totally. But I might be asking you more questions this week, just specific, like, hey, what the fuck's this? But anyway, thanks again for your advice. And I'd love to know what you played this week before we get to the spicy meatball.
Juice? Yeah. The juice. So mainly I played a lot of Apex Legends as normal, right? Like, and a lot of Final Fantasy 14. I'll be honest. I played a fair amount of
Final
Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
My Paladin's 80 now.
Damn.
I got his relic weapon. And then I was just like, maybe I'll play another different class. You know, I was like, last week I was like, maybe I'll level a ninja.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at all my jobs and like my gear. And I was like, you know what, Tony, you piece of shit. What about your black mage?
Yeah, that right? Poor. Like, wasn't he what you started with?
That was my first character.
Wow.
I mean, that really is the soul essence of me.
Yeah.
Right. Is this black mage? Black mages are my favorite Final Fantasy job.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe some of the jobs and tactics I like, but those aren't like, those are so far out from like actual fantasy jobs. That's me, right? Like, I am the black mage guy. I love magic. I love wizards. What the fuck am I doing here?
You're playing a ninja.
I love ninjas too.
I mean, ninjas are fucking rad, obviously. Ninja. Like we said last week.
They're kind of the mages of like Japanese lore, right? You know, they do fireballs and lightning attacks, and you know what I mean? They kind of also fall under this like elemental ideology, right? Like a mage or a wizard would. So I've been back on the black mage grind. I've only got a couple levels. I was 60 when I stopped playing it, so it's not like I have that far to go even.
Yeah.
So I've gotten a couple levels on him or her, I guess. But a lot of Final Fantasy 14, a lot of Apex. So I jumped into a couple. So it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know what came over me, but I was like, man, I got a lot of like league money, like in my just saved up. And I have these things called prestige points. I don't like it's prestige points are like a ultra premium currency in league that you can buy these like real fancy skins with.
Yeah.
Right. Like they had a Louis Vuitton skin last year. That was a prestige skin. Yeah, I know.
I fucking hate League.
And I know. And but I was like, I need to spend these points because they expire. Like, because they expire at the end of the year. So it's like, what a waste. Yeah. If I,
right? It's like not using your PTO.
Yeah, basically, you earn the points during like a year, and then you have available all of these like premium skins for that year. But they don't. After that year, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Right. And so last year's points, which is what I got the points, they're like, oh, we'll extend it out into the beginning of this year since, you know, pandemic or whatever. I don't know why that's a reason, to be honest with you. Like, I get that there's like psychological reasons for it, but it's like people can still buy skins.
Look, man, they're just doing their part to support the COVID-19 yeah, responders.
Right?
Yeah. The frontline workers.
First responders, yeah. Right? It's for first frontline workers and first responders.
Finally, I could get my Louis Vuitton fucking league skin. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally. But so there's a skin I want, a character called Diana has a prestige, but it's not on the store yet. But I ended up installing League so I could look at the store. And when it wasn't there, I uninstalled League immediately.
Oh, that was
but I also installed Valorant to look at the store because I have a lot of Valorant money as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. One of my friends from Riot sent me a bunch of money for both games.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, okay. So I installed Valorant. I still hate Valorant.
Yeah.
And I hate the anti-cheat. And what I really hate, the thing that jumping into that game made painfully aware to me, is that the store is fucking sucks in this game, right?
Like, so, how so? Like the Epic store or like a...
No, like the in-game buy skin store.
Ah,
so
I see.
My friend gave me a bunch of money, like a bunch of Valorant money, right? And I was like, I got some free money.
Yeah.
Let's see what they sell in the store. And you open the store and it's a time-restricted shop that only has 5 items at a time. And it's like, I don't even know how long it takes to rotate. A few days, I guess. And it's like, is this, I don't understand if this is supposed to make me want to buy these things, because all this makes me want to do is never play this game again. Like, so many things about installing that game. I mean, other than the fact that it is really ugly, like, it is shockingly ugly.
I agree. Like, it's a very unattractive game, and not just like simple. The art design is really ugly.
I loaded that game and immediately went into the settings because I'm like, the resolution must be wrong, right? Because it's so like aliased, right? Like it's got jaggies. And I was just like, no, resolution's right. Graphics are on whatever ultra.
Yeah.
Anti-aliasing is fucking 8 times whatever, you know, like everything's set to the highest.
Yeah.
My frame rate is wonderful. And it's just like, how does this still look bad? Like it's okay in game, but anytime you preview like weapon skins or anything, they just look terrible. And and the store is just so bad. And then I've played a few games, and every game someone's trolling, right? And it's like, it's like, I get it, and I'm playing casual games, like I'm not like mad about it, but I'm like, man, this experience fucking blows, you know? Like it's just all around real bad.
And
you know,
and it's like we talked to, I think it was last week, where it's like, dude, or maybe the week before, there's so many free to play games. So it's not like they'd be like, look, it's free, you give it a fucking chance. Like, it's free. It's a lot of free content. It's like, no, dude, Final Fantasy 14 is free. Through Heaven's Word, level 60, free. Also free. Like, you know what I mean? Just the idea that it's free is not an excuse anymore at all. Even Fortnite's like, you may not like it, but it's slick.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to play Fortnite this week, to be honest with you. Because the one thing this game really, like, illustrated to me is it's like, how do I make my character fucking look like, how do I even unlock characters?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like so many of these things, these systems are like, I don't want to say buried because they're not hard to find. Eventually it's like, oh, if you earn XP, you'll eventually unlock characters. And it's just like, why are there skins? It doesn't look like there's any character skins. Fine. There's gun skins, but only 5 are sold at any given time. You know, it's just, this whole thing is just like, ungratifying in ways that I'm just, I am like shocked to come to this game at this point in time. And I've complained about Valorant before, and like, it's not like this is the first time I've ever played it, but you know, really coming back and looking at it, I was really just disappointed in the state of it, and like and just the lack of any kind of like interesting hooks, you know. Like, it's just
and that it paired with the shitty anti-cheat and Riot's just being all around shitty in general, it's like, yeah, it's just very easy to stay away from.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just so easy to just not play.
Yeah,
you know, League of Legends, I don't play it now, and I haven't played it for quite some time, but that game is so hard to not play. Like, if you're into it, then you want to be playing. You want to be earning this stuff. I think Fortnite's really similar. The fact that it's like, no, I want to like get stuff. You know, even despite its flaws, it's interesting to like be a hot dog man. You know, and I just, Valorant just has none of that. On top of like, it's already kind of net negatives.
Yeah.
You know,
It's derivative. It's ugly. It's the kernel bullshit sucks. The store is bad. It's not fun to play. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the gameplay is fine. You know, like, it's Counter-Strike, right? And I like Counter-Strike well enough. I mean, maybe not now as much. I used to really like it. So I get the draw of that part, you know? And I will say, playing games, at least if I play shorter modes, it's fine. I think I played one this morning. It's 25 rounds.
That's too long.
Like, fucking 25. You know, I went to overtime or whatever, right? Like, it was sudden death, right? So it's 12 wins to 12 wins, right? And each round's probably, you know, a couple minutes. Yeah. Like, it probably took an hour. Yeah. You know, like, it was fucking insane, right? Like, it was just like,
dude,
like,
I have shit to do. Fuck this.
Yeah. And you don't get anything, and it still counts as play one game. You know what I mean? Like, there's just not a lot of benefit to it.
Yeah.
I've already gone on too long beating up on Valorant, but bad game.
Yeah. Bad experience, kind of my takeaway too. Like, it'd be one bad thing experience if it was super small and easy, and like, I don't know. It's just got, like we said, it's got a lot of weight.
Yeah. In some ways, I'll say decent game, bad experience.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the game itself is bad. Right. I just think that everything, the trappings are rough, you know, unpleasant.
Yeah.
Unpleasant trappings is what I would be my review. That's like,
I love that. Tony's two word reviews. Unpleasant trappings.
Yeah. I played a couple other games. I just jumped in real quick. I played this game called Naraka Blade Point. I've seen it buzzing around. It's like a Chinese battle royale. I assume it's Chinese. It might not be. But it's very melee focused with a lot of movement abilities and grappling hooks and stuff. It's a cool enough idea. It definitely needs some work. It, you know, it gets framey. It's I don't know. Just look at it, I guess, if you want. I'm not recommending it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Is it free? I don't think it's great. It's a free demo right now. Okay. The game will be free to play. There is like a pre-order Founders Pack if you want to like unlock a character and get some skins or whatever, but the game will eventually be free to play, and there's a free demo on Steam. I don't know if that's going to persist.
Yeah,
because I know there's this like Steam, I don't know what they call this event going on, but there's a Steam demo event going on after E3, so you can check that out. The other game I jumped into real quick was Fantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis on Steam.
That's funny.
I don't know why I decided to try it.
I did that too, like about when it first launched. And yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I thought it was really rough and really unpleasant.
Yeah, I tried to make a cool big titty robot girl.
Yeah, so did I.
And I mean, I don't even like her. Yeah. You know, which is, if I don't like a big titty robot girl,
you've done something wrong.
Yeah, then what's there to like? You know what I mean? Like, what is there to like? Yeah, it's not very good. I mean, if you just want to grind, if like, you know, you just don't have any games, then I
play
guess.
Play Final
like,
Fantasy 14.
Yeah, play Final Fantasy 14. But if you got like nothing else to do and you hate cat girls, so you won't play Final Fantasy 14, and you love big titty robot girls, then I guess you could jump in. But yeah, another game I don't really recommend. I think, feel like there's a reason I keep jumping back to Final Fantasy 14 and Apex.
Yeah,
and
but good for you for not, you know, at least trying other things. I
think. Well, I want new games.
Yeah,
you know, and it's kind of why I'm excited for Lost Ark to finally. I was very tempted to buy the Founders Pack to get beta access, but once I realized it's like for a weekend here and there, like there's no like extended like preview window, I was like, I don't need that. But so I'm excited for that game. I like it. Like I liked playing it in the Korean and Russian servers. And so I'm like, I want to play a real version of it. Cause you know, in those servers, I was always so afraid to like spend money or do microtransactions or whatever. Right. Because your account could just get banned. They could just be like, oh, America, US IP is all banned. Right. Yeah. And you lose it all. So, I'm excited to get a chance to play it for real and have good ping and do PvP and, you know, like all that stuff. So, that's kind of why I'm excited for that game. Yeah. It's one of the only games I'm like, I saw recently, you know, in like our, in E3 that I was really, really looking forward to.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that stuff, just whatever, but we'll get into that in a few. That's most of what I played. So let's take a quick break and then we'll get into E3 and some of this, other fuckboy news. You know, I was thinking before we start recording, could I get away with titling this episode? What was I going to do? Fuck Boys and the Blowjob Meta was what I wanted to call this episode.
It's a good band name.
Yeah, it is a good band name.
I don't know if the SEO would be in line. Maybe it'd probably be the least searched or the most searched.
I mean, the SEO is not really saving us anyways at this point. So
yeah, why not? Swing for the fucking fences.
So swing for the fences. I'm more worried about publishing it with that. Like, I feel like certain providers wouldn't want that as a title card, you know? But then again, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of, like, Spotify has plenty of songs with curse words.
True.
You know, in the name title. You can definitely play Wet Ass Pussy on Spotify. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they have a, you know, an aversion to saucy language.
Yeah, nor should they, I would say.
Yeah, who cares? We're all adults here, unless we aren't.
Unless you're not.
Yeah, unless you're not, you know? But so we got some exciting news. it's not that exciting this week. First things first. People want to hear about E3.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about E3. We will. There's a lot of stuff, but there's not a lot of stuff. You know, it's hard to quantify, right? Like, I think a lot of things were said. Do we need to talk about them all? No, not at all. So I'm going to go through and just kind of call out the events themselves, and we'll just see if there's anything in those we want to talk about. I have a little Engadget, like, list here. Cool. Of what it's everything you missed at 2021's E3. So we can kind of reference this if we need like to.
I love how they assume that you missed it and they're probably right, but that's a funny way to frame it. They're like, hey, we know you didn't watch this. So here's the stuff. They didn't say like everything announced.
Summer Game Fest, we already talked about Battlefield 2042, all that nonsense. The next big show, and this was actually happened while we were recording last week, was, Ubisoft Forward?
Yeah.
Did you watch this?
I didn't. In fact, this is the one where I can't even remember. I think they announced new Assassin's Creed DLC. Sorry.
Yes.
DLC, big distinction, which is, you know, that's cool. I'll pick those up at some point. And I literally don't remember anything else. More Far Cry 6 footage, right?
Yeah, there's Far Cry 6 footage. The Rainbow Six, the game that was going to be called Quarantine, is now called Extraction.
Which is so funny.
I know. It's like a co-op game based on Siege. Riders Republic. Oh, an extreme sports MMO called Riders Republic. Yeah. A new Mario Rabbids game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Spark of Hope. It's in the Mario Galaxy theme, right? It's got Rosalina.
Oh, that's cool.
And all the Lumos and stuff. So it's pretty cute. I'll say that. Although I will say Rabid Rosalina definitely... I found to be a violation of her stately beauty.
And I will not be buying that amiibo.
Yeah, I was not happy about it. One
what
bit.
Have you done? What have you
Rosalina
done to her?
Rosalina is our star queen.
Yeah,
and
she's the awesome queen of the show.
Yeah, and if you want to make her a stupid rabbit, shove it up your ass. I don't want to hear it.
Fuck you, Ubisoft.
Fuck you, Ubisoft. Yeah, that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah, there you go. So that I did feel like I did not miss anything.
No, and I think that's kind of the nature of these conferences.
Yeah.
Do you want to save Xbox for last? Because that one did actually have some things to talk about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, I think we will actually end up having some conversation about Xbox. Square Enix, I guess we'd say, is next. Do you remember anything about
Square Enix? I don't even remember if I watched it. I'm not being like sarcastic. I genuinely don't.
I definitely did not.
What was in it?
Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Oh, yeah, I did not watch this one.
So that should be good. Marvel games, I don't know. Babylon's Fall. It's a Platinum Square game.
Oh.
So it should be Nier-esque, I guess.
Yeah, Platinum's been on a, you know, they're doing pretty good. Good work.
Yeah, they've been doing bangers. Even their smaller games have been bangers.
Yeah.
You know. What the fuck's the game on Nintendo? Astral something?
Astral Chain. Yeah, that game was cool.
Astral Chain. Yeah, it's a cool game. I liked it. I mean, I played it, so I shouldn't act like I didn't.
yeah, so stop acting like you didn't play games.
Yeah, I love games. this one was interesting. So last week or the week before, there was all this talk about Final Fantasy Origins or a Ninja Theory Final Fantasy game coming out. Well, it is. It's Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. It looks fine. It's a kind of a hack and slash Final Fantasy game. They say it's softly based on Final Fantasy 1 because of Chaos,
yeah.
Right? Like the enemy namesake.
Well, it is called Origins. I mean, I don't think that's
right. Yeah, it's not a reach.
It's not a stretch. Yeah, that. I think that was definitely by design.
Yeah, there was strange discourse around this.
There was. I think it started with the trailer, which is a fucking stupid ass trailer. Like all the discourse around it. Like, and I don't know if it's that much worse than other shitty anime game trailers, which I just don't like. Even if I end up liking the game a lot, I hate that way. I hate the way the Japanese do this. It drives me fucking crazy. And the older I get, the more annoying it is. But this one was particularly egregious. Like, it was just really dumb, tough guy talk with no context, no meaning, did not sound cool. It didn't. The voice acting was not good. It was really pretty embarrassing, which, again, is not unique to this game. But I can see why people were like, what?
Didn't start off on a good foot. All these Nintendo trailers we get are always like
that. Exactly.
Like the Deadly Premonition trailers and stuff.
Drives me crazy. Like, I hate it.
Yeah. And they have some, like, you know, these like fake deep quotes, you know, or it's like,
even Final Fantasy 14 trailers, which are beautiful. Oh, they do it too. And I'm just like, please stop, or they'll have some stupid ass song. Like, ugh. So
yeah. And they'll write some stupid quote.
Yeah, in cursive, right? With like, no context.
Like, yeah. Chaos is the heart of matter. And you're like, what does that mean? Right. Just like,
exactly. Like, what does that mean? It's not just a translation issue. Like, I know you guys run the shit through translators. Don't pretend.
Yeah. Use your words, please. So it started with that. People weren't super hot on the trailer. The demo was broken on when it dropped.
Again, is pretty inexcusable, I would say.
Yeah. I would almost assume it was, you know, it seems like the demo was uploading when people were downloading it, and so they were getting corrupt downloads because it wasn't completed yet. You know, like one of those types of things.
It hasn't finished processing. Please,
right?
Please let the demo, the YouTube video process before you try and watch it.
Because after a while, it was fine. Like, it just seemed to work, like, later, you know? And then Kotaku had this very strange article
It wasn't about just Kotaku, but yeah.
But they kind of had the most inflammatory one, I would say. I mean, do you disagree that it was?
No, I didn't like look into it, but I think I remember reading people saying like this. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but I think I remember reading about it before Kotaku published it, but I could be wrong. I didn't like do a super deep dive.
Yeah, this is the first place I saw it, so maybe.
Well, then it must be the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
But anyway, the discourse was strange.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Origins normie fuckboy scores more stylish gear as you play. Stranger in Paradise's lead looks lame, but at least his fits improve. This is Ian Walker wrote it at Kotaku. I don't know, man. Like, it's just such a strange way to talk about a product.
Sure.
You know, like, I get maybe not liking his initial appearance or, you know, having something to say about that. But, you know, I just think the language used around this is kind of inappropriate, right? Like, it's childish in a lot of ways.
And very, very aggressive in a, like, a weirdly pointed way that seems completely unnecessary. And I know it's like, it's not because they said fuck in the headline. Like, I don't care about that.
No.
It's just such a, like, a weirdly mean and aggressive way to talk about a product, like, for no reason. It's just very off-putting.
Yeah, and it seems more like how a 23-year-old to write their Tinder profile.
Yeah.
Right? Than it is how a, air quotes, journalist would write about a product that they just saw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to kind of phrase that idea, but it's just so fucking weird, right? Like, it's just so weird. And I mean, my kind of devil's advocate brain is like, this was like a goof, you know, like they thought this would be fun, you know, like, oh, this will be funny, you know, like for the kids,
yeah,
you know? Like something, right? Something like along those lines. But I don't know. I don't think it comes across that way.
I agree. I would be curious how the article performed. I suspect it probably performed pretty well.
No, for sure.
For what it's right? Worth. Like, I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's gonna get clicks, yeah. Right? Like for sure. And you know, maybe that was the. It's a sad thing to think that the sole intent was like, hey, people click on this even if they hate it. You know,
yeah, I'm sure I think wasn't that's the only reason, but yeah.
But it kind of feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
agree.
I fail to see what the positive was to that art, like what their like intention was behind the language and the headline, and you know, other than
I wonder what the discussion around it was before it was published, if there was any.
Yeah, because it seems like stir people up is the goal. You know,
well, and it's funny because like looking at the game, I found the game to look really awful for a lot of reasons. I mean, his outfit, he just looks like a white guy, just right?
Just a dude.
Yeah.
Just a dude.
And I totally get like Final Fantasy has fucking crazy character designs, and maybe that's part of what people like it, but it's like, does this guy look more like a fuckboy than fucking Noctis? No.
Yeah, no. Less of a fuckboy than Noctis.
Yeah, people, no one that. Wrote this shit about Noctis. Like, it's just a very... Very strange.
Or Squall, for that matter. Right?
Well, Squall doesn't look like fuckboy. Squall looks fucking rad.
No, Squall looks like a fuckboy. Look at his, with his, like, feathered hair and his...
Yeah, he looks fucking leather rad. Leather jacket. First of all, it was the 90s. It was a different time.
Oh, my... You would. You would love Squall. I mean, let's just say that. We can leave
He has dope boots. You can't deny that. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, that's, all that aside, like,
you're making him sound more like a fuckboy by being like, well, but his boots are sick.
He's my kind of fuckboy, I guess, whatever that means.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what fuckboy means.
I don't either.
To be honest with you.
I think we're probably using it incorrectly, and I suspect the headline probably is too, but at the same time, I think it's one of those words that kind of you just get to use whatever the fuck you want. No one's going to correct you on it because you'd be like, oh, really? What does it mean? And what's your source? Urban Dictionary?
So in my mind, I always thought it was like a bitchy guy. You know, like, oh, look at that little fuck boy, you know, like.
I always thought it was someone who just tries way too hard, which is, maybe there's some crossover there. Yeah, I don't know. Send us your thoughts. Maybe we're totally off base here. Maybe the headline is, like, actually bitingly accurate.
Yeah, but Urban Dictionary says it's a boy who is a player and only in a relationship for sex. Okay. Don't date him. He's a fuckboy, is the quote.
That was not at all my... So there you go.
Yeah, mine either. And also, that makes the headline even more confusing.
Hey, what's a normie fuckboy, then?
Yeah, I think it's just a person.
Yeah, it's like, just, I think it's just the normal white guy.
Yeah, I think that's what's so strange, is like, there's a level of like victim complex in this headline that is like...
It's kind of an outsider. You know what it is? It's like some incel shit.
it's some incel shit, yeah. right? Like, I'm an outsider. No one wants to fuck me. But look at this. Look at this fucking Chad Normie fuckboy. Yeah. Tifa only likes assholes.
Yeah, like, I think that's what it is. There is something, like, it feels like some weird alt-right shit in a way that is kind of funny. And I'm sure they didn't mean it that way. And they'd be appalled to hear we said that. But, yeah, it is. It's like, here's a normal looking guy in my final. Who put this fucking normal looking Chad in my Final Fantasy game? Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, if this was on like a parody site, it would actually be pretty funny.
Yeah, I agree. Right? Like the Onion.
Like, why do, like, if the article's like, why do these video game characters look like they get laid when I don't? You know, if that was like the take, like, I think that's actually a funny premise.
That is funny.
But, yeah.
I also wonder, not to get like, we don't need to go down rabbit holes, but I'm just curious, like, if he wasn't white, do you think they would have written that article or had that headline?
Of course not.
Which is sort of like, you know, whatever. It's obvious, but it's also just kind of like, I don't know. It's weird. If he was Asian, I wonder. Maybe if he was Asian.
No.
Yeah, not right now.
Not right now. Especially not.
Maybe in 5 years.
Yeah, maybe in 5. I mean, now almost it would be worse if he was Asian. Like, Asian might be the most sensitive topic, right? But yeah, you know, it is. That's what it is. That's the thing, is some incel bullshit, yeah, right?
It is. I think we finally nailed it. Incel bullshit on Kotaku.
Incel bullshit. I mean,
the game does look like trash, though. I'm sorry to say. Like, people are saying it's okay. Actually, it's not. It looks like trash. I haven't played it. I don't like Ninja Theory that much, though, either. So
yeah, it doesn't help. I think it's a Ninja Theory is a take it or leave it kind of style of game. Yeah. You know, because they do make a very specific thing.
Yeah.
Life is Strange is a new Life is Strange coming.
Looks fine.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't like those games.
I don't really either, but it looks like a fine Life is Strange game, you know.
Yeah, if you like Life is Strange games, you're in luck. So then Nintendo was last to the show. And I thought they had some pretty cool stuff.
I agree.
Did you watch Nintendo's?
I watched the last half. I was doing so I think I was working, but I saw the Metroid Dread trailer. I thought it was cool. I thought it was Nintendo is so funny the way they talk to audiences, so unique, and it is charming, but it's also very weird. Like, they get away with a lot. The way there's like, it's no Metroid Prime 4, fuck you. But anyway, check this out. La la la. It's like, and it was distracting. It looks really pretty neat, I think. The robot motif and the colors look interesting. I'm definitely going to check out Metroid Dread.
It's amazing that Nintendo's allowed to break all the rules.
Yeah. And they're just nice about it, and you can't, what are you going to say to them? You can't do that. Like, they're like, absolutely we can.
Their online is atrocious, and they sell the most consoles ever. Microsoft tried to, like, force logins to play games, and people were like, this fucking console's dead. We're never touching. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy, like, what they're allowed to get away with. I'm not saying either thing is good.
No.
Like, I don't think, you know, but no one seems to care when Nintendo does it. Or they say they care, but they still buy.
Yeah.
A gajillion units of the hardware. Smash is getting a new character.
Yeah.
Tekken's Kazuya, which is crazy, right? Because now there are Tekken characters, Street Fighter characters, Final Fight characters, all in one game.
When's Mortal Kombat gonna get some love?
When is Mortal Kombat
gonna get some love? When's Melina gonna be in there?
That's your choice.
Yeah, Melina's fucking rad.
Okay. what else? Metroid, we just talked about. Metroid Dread is coming. And they did say that Prime 4 exists.
Yeah.
So that's cool. A new WarioWare game, which should be pretty fun. I think those games are always pretty cool.
Yeah, they're great.
Advance Wars, a reboot of 1 and 2 is a remake, which is weird because those are some old-ass Game Boy games. Yeah, so we'll see how they look.
Game Boy Advance, right?
Yeah, Game Boy Advance. Yeah. Hence, Advance Wars. Breath of the Wild 2, they had some, like, a minute-long video, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff in there. Like, I didn't do the real close analysis, but it was just nice to see that they're still working on it. Not that they wouldn't be, but, you know, it was cool to see some new stuff. The coolest thing I thought was when he, like, shoots into the rock and, like, comes out the other side. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, dude, that in an open world, like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. It's going to be interesting, but we didn't learn, like,
some nods to, like, some nods to, like, Skyward Sword, it seems.
Yeah.
Some And they're releasing Skyward Sword again, so there might be some connection there. I don't know. But it's just always nice to see more Zelda.
Yeah.
Especially Breath of the Wild, right? Mm-hmm. Like, something about, like, just the tone and what they did there and just the language of that game is so comforting to me.
I agree.
And, like, it's just, like, it's like seeing an old friend in a way that is stupidly effective.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I hate that. I hate that that's true, right? That I see this game and I'm just like, oh, there he is. Like, you know, you just want to spend time with him. Yeah, he's still at it.
Looks great. He never ages.
And it's like, God, this shit worked on me so well. You know, like it really hit me so well. So it was just nice to see more of that. Zelda Game & Watch handheld. It has the original Zelda on it.
And Zelda 2, I think, right?
And Zelda 2.
Yeah.
So if you want to fight Dark Link, you can now do it on a handheld, which
pretty sure you could already before. Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
it does look nice, but it does feel very, you know what it feels like? It's like, it's there. They always have something like this as a backup, like waiting for when they haven't, you know, when they need to fill a conference like this, they're like, hey, dig that thing out of the closet. We'll announce that, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's just like, they probably, you know, they're a toy company at heart. Yeah. Right. And I think these are really the toys,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, stocking stuffers and people that don't play video games get these things and they try them for an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sit on a shelf at Target and get thrown away or whatever. Like, you know, I think that's what these are for.
Absolutely.
So, and I bet they sell a fucking gajillion.
And I bet they're immensely cheap to make.
Yeah. Cause every moron is like, Zelda, you know,
all right.
Like,
well,
they don't, you know what I mean though? They don't remember
totally.
What the game actually is. They just, they're 40 years old.
Yep.
And they haven't played video games in 26 years.
Okay, I remember playing this when I was, you know, 13.
I fucking love Zelda.
And it's only, you know, it's only 20, 30 bucks. How much are they? Do you know? Actually, I'd be curious about that.
I could probably.
Because I wonder, they could be anywhere between like $10 to like $70, and I wouldn't be surprised.
$50.
Oh, yeah. That seems much too high. But
that's far too high, but yeah. That's what I mean, dude. People in Target will be like, Zelda 1 and 2?
Yeah, what a fucking deal.
25 each. That's a fucking steal. I paid $50 for that game when I was a kid.
Well, you know what's funny? Skyward Sword is going to be 60, right? So it's like, I genuinely don't know which of those I'd rather have because I'm not super excited about either.
Will Skyward Sword come with a Wiimote? Because if it comes with a Wiimote, I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
The original had a Wiimote. Why wouldn't this one?
Yeah, why wouldn't it? That's so weird.
Yeah. That's so weird. Shin Megami Tensei 5 has a release date. It doesn't say what it is on here, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
I think the big news was Metroid and just more Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, no Bayonetta, no Splatoon.
And no new Switch, which I genuinely was surprised by. I don't think you were, though.
No, I'm never surprised.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't surprised by that. I don't know. I feel like if it didn't come out before, we weren't going to hear about it. You know what I mean? Like,
you still think it'll come before Christmas?
Yeah, I think it'll come around Christmas. I think that's probably, you know, part of me in my mind is like, they were going to announce it and like people ruined it.
Yeah.
You know, like I really feel like Nintendo is at this point where they're capable of saying like, all right, fine, we just won't do it now. Yeah, like,
fuck you.
Well, and we already got like the hit off of this, you know, like,
yeah.
If they announce it themselves, they have to release it, right?
That's true. It's almost like free, like, beta testing. Like, do people want this? What's the discourse around it? And they didn't even have to say a fucking word.
Yeah, but if someone leaks it, and then they get to kind of see the vibe and, like, be like, how's this playing out? Then they're like, let's just keep our mouth shut for a while. You know? It'll still be good in six months.
We'll still have it. If anything, we'll have more chips.
Yeah, right? Like, we'll have more to release at launch. We'll sell more units at launch. It'll be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's my... I don't know if that's... a real way they would operate their business, but
nobody knows
how nobody they fucking operate knows. Their Nintendo's business. Crazy. That's what's so fun about them.
They're crazy. They're very whimsical while also being strangely like draconic and very strange company. But anyway,
so the conference that had probably the most announcements, which is saying a lot. So Xbox, we're talking about Xbox here.
Yeah.
Now the discourse around this presentation to me is mystifying, right? Like when I talked to you about this after it happened, and we both kind of had the same vibe, I felt the most out of touch, I think, in game. Well, this week in general, I have felt the most out of touch in like games and game media that I have ever felt.
Yeah.
Right. Like I was like, I don't understand this. I don't know why people say things the way they do, why people feel the way they feel. Like none of it adds up to me. That's because I think there's a lot of really positive response to the Xbox show, right?
Yeah.
A lot of articles were out being like, the drought is over. Xbox has got so many games.
Chris Plant, who I respect him in a lot of ways, but he wrote a piece for Polygon that was like, they're everything they've been working towards is paying off. And I was like you said, I felt like, I was like, is everyone fucking smoking crack? Like, when I was so disappointed by that.
Yeah, and am I just a hater? Like, you know, like, all these things go through my head. They're like, obviously, I don't think everyone is wrong and I'm right.
Yeah,
you know what course. I mean? Like, I don't think that's a fair way to evaluate things. So, you know, I really am just like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe I just don't get it, you know? Because in my mind, a console that has not released a single game, saying that we're going to try to have some games out by the holiday, still does not have a single game. Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I feel like, what happened. Right. They're like, we haven't released any games for Xbox Series X yet. And we think Halo's going to be out in the holidays.
Yeah.
No, with no release date. Right.
It's madness. And the few games you are looking forward to, like Starfield. Yeah, here's a trailer and absolutely no indication whatsoever of.
Well, they said Starfield will be, they gave it a date like November 2022, which I'll believe that when I see it, but,
that's, you know, a year and a half away.
Yeah. A year and a half away. What is, has dates is Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah.
Which,
real quick, I still find it so irritating when they do the thing where they pretend to play the game and they fake chat. Like,
oh, yeah,
that's kind of adorable. Like, when they did it, it was so obvious, it's so dorky that it kind of worked for me. But I just am like, I'm really looking forward to when that stops being a thing that they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the like the years where it was like, esports chat, you know, like they all wanted to have like,
oh god, yeah,
like esports game chat, like in all the trailers, yeah. Or it's like, oh, he's at
fucking pwned the noobs,
yeah, cover me, yeah. Fucking headshot, killed it, guys,
poggers, bro,
poggers,
yeah. I literally got the chills when you said that. I guess those are the douche chills, but yeah, it was. You're right. This is an improvement because at least this is like dorky and funny.
Yeah, I hate that was the worst when that was, and everyone did that for a couple of years. Yeah. It was really crazy. So Horizon 5 looks good. Halo Infinite multiplayer reveal.
It's free to play.
Halo, we kind of knew that was going to be free to play, or at least that was always like rumored. I don't know if it was announced, but that was kind of a thing that it would have been talked about quite a bit. That really makes me like concerned about the quality of that game.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know. I guess people should be happy it's free. Like I am, and I think
I'm definitely more likely to play it. But
yeah, I think more people will play it. I think, you know, I feel like Xbox has this thing where it's just like we just want people to install it, play it at least once,
yeah,
and then we can tell the world that 50 million people play Halo, right? And it's the biggest game ever, and it doesn't matter if they play it more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens after that really is inconsequential.
Yeah,
right. Like. Same thing they do with Sea of Thieves, right? It's like Sea of Thieves is the only game out. Xbox Game Pass is free. Everyone tries Sea of Thieves. They never play it again. And then they're like, Sea of Thieves has 120 million players. And you're like, no, it does. Like, it does.
Show me the active user base right now.
You can't just say that. You can't just pretend that's true. We got release dates for Psychonauts 2 and Flight Simulator.
Yeah, okay, so Flight Simulator is... what, a year old now, right?
Yeah.
Psychonauts 2 is fine, but that's a sequel to a game from 2004, I believe.
Yeah, it's coming out in August, so, you know, end of August, so not too far out.
But not a system seller, with all due respect to Schaefer and Double Fine. Like, no one's like, gotta get a Series X for fucking Psychonauts 2.
I think that game's gonna suck balls, if I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah, but the first one's not that great either.
No, it's not. Like, it's a, you know, it's a nostalgia play based on a game that isn't great, but people love because they played it when they were fucking seven. Yeah.
It's,
you know, and
it's well written, but it's not fun to play.
Well, they thought it was really heady when they were children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I get it. Like, you're like, oh, this is like dealing with like mental stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And they're willing to give it a pass because it was like smart, you know, at the time, smart for an 8-year old.
Yeah.
And now they're like, this one's going to be the crazy, 'cause it's like the sequel. But no, like, I just don't think that if they had good games in their brain and were ready to make more, they would have.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, this is an old band coming back for a reunion show 'cause they're getting a check, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe it's good. I hope it's good. I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm just saying that, like, you don't just come back in 20 years and make a good game. Like, you know, it's not, I don't think that's how it works. I think you need to cut your teeth and be sharp and know what's happening and understand like what modern games are. And I don't think that's the case, right? Like, I don't think they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they've been putting stuff out, but they've certainly have not been putting out it. You know, they've been going in a very different direction. So I think you're right that this idea that they're just going to come back and fucking kill it is probably a little too optimistic. But that's the thing, Tony, now that I think about it, like, you and I are very cynical in every interpretation of this. And I don't think that's wrong necessarily, but I just feel like the other side of this is everyone just has the optimistic interpretation of this instead. And like, depending on the lens you view it through, I can see why we're like, this looks like shit. All this stuff is not exciting. And someone who's just like, I don't know why they have that perspective though. And I don't think it's just because we're haters, but maybe.
I don't think it's just because we're haters either. I mean, I just, the thing to me is if I owned a console and it was like Forza in November, Halo Infinite maybe in November.
Yeah.
We don't really know.
Who knows?
Psychonauts 2 in August. And then you get to finally play Flight Simulator. I'm just like, that's what I got this year? Like, that's what I got since launch at this point, right? Like, that's all the games that, you know, like,
yes.
That's all the games I got since, I mean, the Medium, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what I got since PS5. Launch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's mystifying.
That seems mystifying to me. Like, that seems extremely disappointing. And so, to me, that's what's like, what do you mean they have games now? Like, you know, like, that's what confuses me. And, so they announced Contraband from Avalanche, Outer Worlds 2, which had another one of these like tongue-in-cheek, like, it was a trailer that was kind of meta about game trailers, which I think would be better if they weren't the problem. You know what I mean? It's like they're doing the thing that they're kind of goofing on. But that's all they're providing.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would have been funny if after this they had actually shown something about the game, but, you know, it was basically like, ooh, lens flare, silhouette of a hero, 'cause we haven't made him yet. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny, but it was like, I agree. It felt not that earned, 'cause the Outer Worlds is like a cool game, but it's not like the fucking height of fucking comedy or parody. You know what I mean? And then also it felt, and this is just me reading into it, felt almost like a weirdly unnecessary dig at, like, it made me think of Outriders, honestly. Because when I saw the Outriders trailer, it's exactly what I thought. I was like, this is the most generic bullshit, dumbass shit. And this almost felt like it was directly making fun of that game in a way that felt sort of like, I don't know, almost mean. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like too soft, but it felt like it was directed at their competition, not like they're making fun of themselves.
Yeah, like they are not self-aware at all. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little weird. And then again, you're right, to not even show any of your own gameplay is kind of a, yeah, it's like you're the problem. You're like, dude, you don't have any gameplay. Why are you even showing us this trailer? You can't just tell us we don't have a trailer and then not show us a trailer and then announce your game. Fuck you.
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if we didn't have a trailer? And
yeah, at the end. Like, exactly. Here's our logo. Jokes.
I guess the joke's on us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing like with that Kotaku article I shared with you, right? Like, that whole just like, joke's on you, kind of. I don't know.
I felt like that the joke was on games journalists. That's how it felt to me. It was like, hey, look, this is how all games articles are written. Like, isn't it funny that we're aware of it?
Then don't do it.
Well, yeah, I know.
Like, you know what I mean? But, like, that's the thing.
He doesn't do that either. That particular author. Like, that's the other part of it. Is like, I think he is more insightful than a lot of their writers, probably because he's an outsider. I don't know. We don't need to get into it here. I think it's complicated. But that did not hit me. That felt like it was very much making fun of itself. Whereas the Outer Worlds,
I think
was
it's because you're a writer. I think it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it felt that way because you're like. I bet if you're a game developer, you love the Outer Wilds 2 trailer.
Yeah, that's true. If you're like a game trailer cutter.
Or a developer, right? Yeah. And you're like, they force us to make these fucking things. Well, fuck them. We'll make something like this. That's a
very good point.
And I think as a writer, you see that Kotaku article and you're like, fuck these formulaic articles. They try and force down our throats to get us to get content out. Like, fuck this. I don't, you know, and then this guy says it and you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. But to the grander audience, it's like, just fuck off with this. Like, you know, like I don't care.
Yeah.
Just do better. Like, just surface better things for me. I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I don't know what other things you've written. I know the site that you're writing this on. I know the place where you're displaying this trailer.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know what's on.
You can't assume things. People have the same context. That's a good point.
Yeah. And I know what's on these things and they suck, you know?
Yeah.
So, this just sucks too.
Yeah.
And why are you telling me it sucks?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a fair point. Saying like,
it's like you go to look at, yeah, it's like you go to Dom little, if I go to Little Caesars and they give me a shitty pizza and then the guy comes out and's like, I'm actually a good pizza maker.
But
I made a shitty one for you to show you how funny it is that they make shitty pizza here. I'd be like, just give me a fucking good pizza.
Yeah.
Right? I gave you $5 for a hot and ready. Well, let me get a good hot and ready.
You're not
gonna
get a good pizza for $5.
I honestly, I'm down for a fucking,
yeah, me too. Caesars. But you do have to adjust your expectations a little bit.
Of course.
Do you remember
Little Caesars, real quick,
yeah,
Little,
yeah,
Caesars, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're not dragging Little Caesars, huh?
I love a hot and ready. I love your crazy bread. Okay.
If you want to sponsor the show.
Yeah, I'm down for Little Caesars. Okay.
Yeah, me too. I'm not judging.
Sorry.
But do you remember when, not to get too off track, but do you remember when Domino's had that campaign like 10 years ago? Where they're like, yeah, our pizza fucking sucks ass and everyone hates it. But now we're making it better. That was so funny in retrospect.
That was like, funny, right? But they did make it better.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I think it's better than it was.
Maybe.
Right? I do.
It's hard to remember. But just saying like, hey, we're going to make it better, like, doesn't mean they actually had to do anything. Because people are still going to buy Domino's. It's the biggest fucking pizza chain in the world by a huge margin.
All I'm saying is if you're going to do that, you got to change the recipe.
Yeah.
And they did, right? And Obsidian and Xbox and Bethesda are not changing the recipe.
Yeah.
Right? Kotaku's not changing the recipe.
Yeah,
right?
That's They're true. Just if, like, if at the end he had said, like, hey, we're, you know, all kidding aside, we're really gonna try to change this and really work on our editorial standards and here's some changes we're making, that might have been more interesting.
No, they just all jumped in on the joke.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You know, like The editor in chief of Kotaku commented in the article with her own meta fucking, you know, bullshit about it, and it's just a middle finger to people, to the audience, you know? Just like this trailer is, if you ask me, right? It's just like, fuck off, you know? Like, you don't deserve it. Like, you don't deserve good things, you know? And you know, I think I'm using like very aggressive language about it. Like, I'm not like mad about it. Like, I don't think that
you don't think they're they're a normie fuckboy.
I don't think they're normie fuckboys. I think they're insulated, right? And I think in their mind this was really funny.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're insulated, because they don't view these things as an audience, they view these things as
industry insiders.
Game developers or industry insiders or trailer makers and
it's like they're not making it for their audience. They're making it for themselves, right? Which can be fun, I guess, but I hear you. It can also be kind of sort of pedantic. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my takeaway from that. But in better news, your boys at Arkane are making a game called Redfall.
Yeah.
On Xbox.
I thought it was kind of a cool trailer. I don't know. It was like they definitely have gotten a wave in terms of like, again, I don't think there's any gameplay, right? Was there? I can't remember.
No, not really. No, it was like a sizzle.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. I mean, I thought it was a cool trailer. It looked, you know, character designs were kind of interesting. It looked very different than what they've done before, which I really liked what they did before. And I kind of feel the same about Deathloop. So, you know, they're not making these games specifically for me, but at least it, you know, it looked interesting. It did not get me excited, but yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think everyone's making their own Left 4 Dead version right now.
Yeah, which is so weird. Like, when did that come back?
I don't know.
So random.
And I don't really like those games. Yeah. Like,
Left 4 Dead's cool, but it's also very old.
It was also a very different time.
Yeah.
I think, like, where, like, these four-player co-op games were, like,
yeah,
a big thing. I just don't feel like that's... I don't feel like that's how people play games right now.
Yeah, it's certainly not how you and I do.
It's definitely not how we play games. A game called Replaced got announced. Whatever. And that's pretty much it. They have a list here of games we did not see at the show. So Avowed, Crossfire X, Cuphead, Everwild, Fable 4, Forza Motorsports, Perfect Dark. There's like some stuff that they noted they didn't see. Elder Scrolls, I think, should be on that list too. Yeah, I mean, I think it was strange. I've heard they're like rebooting Everwild from the start.
Yeah,
something
went wrong at Rare.
Something went wrong at Rare on that game, and they're like,
which is unfortunate because that trailer was rad.
Yeah, it's a pretty looking game.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they had.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I don't think we mentioned was Stalker 2, which I know, like, who cares, right? But the thing is, like, the original Stalker is a very fascinating game. I was listening to a podcast about it, and it's, like, a very unique, well-loved, strange, very bizarre Russian game that a lot of people really love. So it's cool it's getting a sequel, right? But the point is, like, nobody is buying an Xbox for a sequel to a sort of niche Russian game that, even if it's awesome, that's the kind of weird shit Microsoft does, where I'm like, no, just make Halo Infinite. Like,
yeah.
Don't buy studios, again, no dissing the game or people like it, but it's just such a weird play to be like, hey, we have Stalker 2, everybody. It's just
weird. I don't understand what they're doing at all right now.
I don't either.
To be honest. I mean, especially you have these great studios. You spent all this money on these great studios,
yeah,
right? And it's like, it's been 4 years now since like 3 years now since that acquisition, right? Like, make them make a game that you can launch in a reasonable amount of time that just is crowd pleasing. You know, like I'm not saying they got to make some like lowest common denominator bullshit, right? But it's like, you have ideas. You have games. You
spent $1 billion.
Yeah, you spent $1 billion. You have games you know you can make, right? Like, do something that's in your wheelhouse. Like look at like Insomniac Games, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. They made Ratchet & Clank, which is not like genre defining, but it was just good and cool and people love it.
Yeah, like just do a game like that. I mean, they made that right after fucking Spider. Like,
yeah.
They're cranking out fucking games that are like 9s and 10s.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, why get some of the stuff out of these people, right? Psychonauts 2 isn't that.
No.
You know, like, Outer Worlds 2 isn't that.
No.
Stalker
2 isn't that either. And again, these might all be cool games, but it's not that.
None of these are that. Like, that's what's so weird to me,
yeah,
right? Like, none of these seem to hit that, like, that mark. And
Even if they did like a Gear 6, which I know you don't care about, and I don't care about, but like, even if they're like, guess what? Gear 6 is coming in December. Like, at least it'd be something.
Or reinvent Gears.
Yeah.
And just call it Gears of War again.
Yeah, reboot
it. Make it a modern,
yeah,
cool game that's not fucking
from 2006.
Bro cheese. Yeah. It's not fucking Chad fuckboy energy, right?
Normie fuckboy, yeah.
I mean, you could make a cool, like, I don't know. I think they think they have made like cool characters in that world, right? But I mean, divorce yourself from what it is,
yeah, and do and, reboots and start are great.
Fresh, right? And do something that's like really interesting with that. Like, I think I don't love that world or like how it's anything about it, to be honest, but people do, and there's like a base of lore there where if you just made a whole new set of characters and a whole new thing, I don't know, I think you could do something much more interesting with it and much more likable. I think the problem is those people are just unlikable to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm no games genius, right? I don't even understand why people like it and people do. So obviously I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's just, right? I mean, it's not just our opinions, right? I mean, if you're listening to this far, then you find our opinions interesting enough, but we certainly don't pretend like we know.
Yeah, I'm definitely not the barometer for like what people should be doing or what is the right way to do these things.
But it is interesting to be so clearly reminded of that in a way where it does feel very like, I really thought I was right about this, where I was like, that was fucking terrible. Like, I think they're all pretty terrible. Like, this E3 was pretty rough all around. And I think overall people agree on that. But the idea that the Microsoft thing was really showcased that their plan is working was utterly mystifying to me. And it feels like we really have a profoundly different understanding of like how the industry works or what we want, or like, it's weird, definitely disconnected.
Yeah, like how success is measured, right?
Yeah.
Or like what goals are, like what are the goals of these shows, right? Like, I don't know. I don't feel like they're, I don't know. I don't understand. Yeah. Like I'm, as someone who does these types of things for a living and measures like marketing goals and conversions and clicks and like what is how you measure success in your business, I don't understand a metric that is like successful for this, right? But I don't know. I also am not like a guru as far as these types of things, right? So
you're no Phil Spencer.
I'm no Phil Spencer. I mean, I think he's great.
Yeah, he's cool.
I mean, yeah. All right, one more thing. This isn't gonna, might not be real quick, but we can spend another 15 minutes talking about it because I want to talk to you about it. Five Nights at Freddy's creator says he's retiring, handing off franchise. So his name's Scott Cawthorn. I'm going to pull this information from Polygon, Michael McWherter. This is something I was actually very interested in talking to you about because I've kind of seen it buzzing around a lot.
Yeah.
So I'll just paraphrase kind of the story as I know it, and you can correct me if you know anything different.
Sure.
It kind of came out, I wouldn't say it leaked. They have these websites that show what people donate to, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of, they saw that he donated quite a bit of money. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of money he has donated, this isn't the most he's donated or even a large portion of the money he's donated, but he donated to Republican candidates, including Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Ben Carson, $42,000 in total to Republican lawmakers and politicians, right? People were very critical of it. He made a statement saying, you know, I'm a Christian and a Republican. I also support, you know, all kinds of people, LGBTQ people, and in science, and I don't think those things are contradictory. I'm paraphrasing. This is not exactly what he said.
It's pretty much what he said.
And he kind of just left it at that, right? People started doxing him. I mean, this just was like a fervor on Twitter and stuff. Ultimately, like threatening him, threatening his wife who's pregnant.
that'll show him.
Sending stuff to his house, you know, like really and you know, it really like a lot of like people like got involved. Other people are getting threatened for threatening, you know, like it really got ugly, like a really ugly circle.
It's a classic example of like internet gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. And so ultimately he's like, I'm done with everything, with the space, with these people, with games.
Well,
and he has retired.
Yeah. I mean, I thought his quote about his retirement, again, I am paraphrasing and he might've said more, but it seemed much more like, hey, you know, it's been great and it's been really rewarding, but I think I'm going to be work on other stuff now. Like he wasn't even like, you guys are assholes that have driven me out and I can't believe you threw me off. He was just like, I think I'm going to do other stuff now. I miss like making kids games and shit.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say what, you know. But so here's his quote from his website.
Yeah.
I've had a blessed, fulfilling, and rich career. I've been shown great kindness, and I've tried to show great kindness in return. I've tried to make some good games, and I've witnessed the creation of possibly the most creative and talented fan base on the planet. But here on the 7th anniversary of the first game's trailer, as I realized that I was in my mid-30s when I created the series, and now I'm approaching my mid-40s, I realized that I missed a lot of things that I got to focus on before Five Nights at Freddy's became such a success. I miss making games for my kids. I miss doing it just for fun. I miss making RPGs, even though I stink at it. All of this to say that I'm retiring. I have been shown tremendous love and support over this last week, a lot of which has come from the LGBTQ community. The kind of shown to me has been surreal. So that's his quote.
It's a good quote.
That is a good quote. I mean, that's, I think, the thing that makes me very sympathetic to him, right? Is, well, I'm sympathetic because it's very undeserved, but he's very measured in his language. Like, I think he has a very understandable position in a lot of ways, right? Like, with, you know, even the way he rationalizes how he's donated money, like, he talks about it, you're like, okay, like, I guess you're making, you're making sense to me, right? What do you think about this whole thing, Leo?
I think that I agree with a lot of ways. I think his reaction was the right one, which is just like, eh. You know, also, it's easy to retire when you've made $100 million, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like, he's in a good position to retire. You know, it's not like he's a scrappy young developer. So he has the luxury of retiring. I think attacking someone due to their political donations is weird as fuck. But also, I mean, it'd be one thing if all his games were about like Mexican immigrants and you know, the environment and how important all this shit is, or if there was like messaging in his games that highlighted a hypocrisy. But I think him making like silly horror games for kids, I don't understand how it's hypocritical of him to then also be a Trump supporter. I think the discourse about it is like, how can you say you support LGBTQ people while supporting the people who are fucking assholes? That's fair, but it's like, you can kind of make that argument if you're donating to any presidential candidate, which then begs my question of like, why would you donate to fucking Trump and Mitch McConnell? Like, if you're going to donate to something that matters. But all of that aside, I don't like Christians. I don't like Trump supporters. I don't like that entire ignorant ideology. And it's not just ignorant, like, not progressive. The idea, well, anyway, it's like a philosophical disagreement. That said, the idea of like, if you don't support my candidate, then you're a hypocrite because you can't possibly have complex feelings about complex topics really shows a level of stupidity that would be just as stupid if it were the other side doing it, right? So I think it's really lame that people are attacking him for who he supports politically and calling him a hypocrite for like lending support to LGBTQ YouTube creators or like the people who do support him. And he's not someone I follow closely or care a lot about, but this is an example of people acting like huge fucking dickheads just because they feel morally justified, which I thought only one side did that, right? It's just such a clear, flagrant example of hypocrisy on the progressive side that is pretty shocking to just see it accepted as, this is just how we do it. We just bully everyone who disagrees with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so disappointing is like a lot of the media around this this medium, right? A lot of games media, we're kind of cheerleading for... Yeah. You know, his harassment, yep. His removal, you know, it was very, he was very much being painted as this like demon who,
as a hypocrite,
deserved everything he got.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what's like really problematic about this, yeah. Right? Like kids on Twitter, are like, you know, what are you going to do about them? Right. Like how are you, there's not a lot you can do to stop some of these people from being fucked up. And I think that's understood.
Yeah.
But this idea that like, you know, there were a lot of people, making very, I don't know, offhand remarks and kind of participating in this that are very prominent, yeah, in this industry.
I agree.
And I think that is inappropriate. I think that should be actionable by the people that employ these people, you know, like, because this person makes games, right? And regardless of how you feel about how he donated his money, there's just a certain level of respect you should have for people that kind of operate in your medium, people that are potentially, you know, kind of part of your work, you know, that you shouldn't be able to act that way towards them. You know, like, publicly, right?
Yeah.
Like, I really do think, like, game designers and developers should blacklist people, right, that go out of their way to be antagonistical to someone like this Five Nights at Freddy's creator,
yeah,
right? Because they really have gone after, like, your own, you know what I mean? And you know, it's funny to frame it like, for one, like you said, if you support any politician, like, you're as guilty as he is, right? Do I think Mitch McConnell is an exceptionally evil skeleton man? I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I definitely
need $15,000 or whatever. Like,
right. Yeah. I agree. He is an exceptionally bad skeleton man that I do not like.
Yeah.
You know, I think Nancy Pelosi is an exceptionally bad witch lady that I do not like.
Yeah.
And I think Donald Trump's just a terrible person.
Yeah.
Right. That being said, like, in his grand scheme of donations, this is a very small amount of money. I think he donated like $1 million like in this past thing. And most of it was like children's hospitals and shit, you know, like not political donations. I think this was small amounts of money donated in his kind of purview to political contributions. And I don't know how these were like, you know, I don't know what motivated these specific donations. Right.
Yeah. Nobody asked. But yeah, like nobody asked him. But I think that, again, the important point too to me is like his art is not reflective of an hypocrisy. That's what's so irritating about the discourse is they're calling him a hypocrite because he says he likes gay people, but he supported Mitch McConnell and Trump. But it's like his art is not about gay people. His art is not about, or as far as I know, maybe there is a line of that in the franchise. I have no idea, actually. I haven't played these games. But from what I understand, they're not political games. They're not about, like, I said,
spooky,
they're not about the environment or immigration, or he's not a hypocrite if he never talked about the topic. You know what I mean? And that's a part I feel like I'm totally missing. It's like, how are you going to call him a hypocrite when his games aren't about this? Like, judge the art he created.
And there are gay Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not saying this to be like gay people love Trump, but
it's complicated. There are,
it's a complicated issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is definitely not nearly as simple as, he's a Republican, he's a Christian, he must hate gay people, right? Like, I think that
Yeah, and that's where the line gets drawn, because to many people, it is that simple. And those are the people who are fucking doxing this dude and acting like that's going to make the world a better place.
Yeah, I saw someone, they're talking about the, I don't even know where this, there's some conservative rally or something this week, and there's a bunch of protesters, like, blocking the street in front of it, and it's, you know, rioting and all this, and someone on Reddit said that it's appropriate because there's literal Nazis inside. And I was just like, you don't know what the word Nazi or literal means.
Yeah.
You know, like if you believe that, like, then I guess I understand why you think anything is acceptable. Right. But it's profoundly ignorant to say. And I think that this is kind of where this stems from. And I think that's why I find it so much more troubling when people in positions to have their voices kind of elevated and amplified and participate in this specific kind of harassment.
Yeah, and this isn't even a good one. Like, if you are going to harass someone because you think they're transphobic or racist or whatever it is, like, there probably are people who are actually those things. And donating a rich ass motherfucking guy in his 40s donating to Trump, well, you know, we could have a conversation about why he did that, and maybe he's wrong, maybe he's right. He's probably not right, but maybe he's wrong. But he's not the guy. He's not the poster child for, like, the alt-right, you know? This guy who's, like, by all accounts, pretty nice and tried to help everyone, regardless of who they are. That's the guy you're going to go after? That's the guy who Kotaku's going to pile on?
Yeah, there's a, you know, it's a funny thing. Like, I don't think, like, I just said, I don't like Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
I don't think harassing him is appropriate. Right. Not because I think he doesn't deserve it or whatever. I just don't think that I think that, like, the mindset and the mind space involved in harassing people is not positive. It does not accomplish things. It's not necessarily appropriate. Like, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I just don't think that that's the way to do. That being said, I would never defend Donald Trump. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I would never be on this podcast saying don't harass Donald Trump. Why? Because he doesn't deserve defense. You know, he is a shitty, terrible person. He would never defend me.
No.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
certainly,
like,
not.
Right. Like he's a monster in a lot of ways. And so it's like, sure. Like, I think this kind of behavior is always reprehensible, but there are people that I just wouldn't defend from it, right? You know, it's like when you see a video on the Reddit or whatever, and someone gets punched for saying the N-word, and you're like, I don't think you should punch that guy, but also, like, I'm not going to defend
him. Yeah, I'm not. You know what I mean? This is not a hill I fucking at all feel the need to die
right?
on.
Like, yeah. like, I think it's a bit inappropriate to beat the shit out of him, but at the same time, like, he made his bed. I'm not going to go out of my way to make sure he's okay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But this
is not going to donate $15,000 to his campaign.
Yeah, but this just isn't that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not... He just doesn't seem like that person. And to yeah, I think this is just so ugly. It right? is. It's just,
and it's such it's a so clear, very obvious, more obvious than usual insight into kind of where the conversation in the medium is and how clearly one-sided it is. Which, again, yeah. you know, we could... It's a big conversation about how it got there and why and whether it's right or wrong, whatever, but it is undeniable. If anyone was denying it, which maybe they weren't, that, like, you know, there's no space for any dissenting opinion or voice in the entire video game journalism media, essentially. Which isn't to say good stuff can't still come out of it, but it is, like, just a very clear example of that.
So, one last question on this. Do you think he was canceled?
I don't think you can get canceled if you made $100 million and then retire.
Well, I mean...
No, I don't think sure. so. Also, if you make games for kids, they're immune to being canceled, aren't they?
Well, no. I mean, kids are, but, you know, his career, his time making games is over. I don't think could...
I think he could.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
no, he could. I don't think... No. I mean, he could, but if he was willing to face harassment as he moved forward, right?
It'll blow over. No one's going to fucking care about this guy in 2 weeks. Even the most outraged person on the internet. You know, no way.
No, they will.
I don't think so.
If his name comes up again, he will be like this guy forever, right? He will be the Nazi. He will be like, because you still see it with other people. Like, I mean, you see this stuff pop up all the time. I mean, look at how we talk about Randy Pitchford, you know, like,
yeah, but he's just an asshole. He's not like, I don't care who he votes for. I'm sure I could guess who he votes for, but
we think Randy Pitchford's an asshole.
Yeah.
That Twitter thinks this guy is far worse than that. Right. I bet if you ask people on Twitter who's worse at the height of their fervor about these people, this guy or Randy Pitchford, they would say this guy. Right.
Yeah.
Because he supports literal Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I guess maybe he could come back. Maybe he could fight his way back, right?
Well, I don't think he needs to, right? I mean, this is a classic example of, like, yeah, he just installed someone else as the head of this studio, but he's still going to make, I'd imagine, a shitload of money from it. It's not like his career is not over.
No, I mean, I don't think money's like,
yeah,
I don't think the motivating factor at that point in his life is like, can I still make money? Right. It's like, can I still do what I want? Can I still actively participate in my business while feeling like my family is safe? You know what I mean? And I don't think, especially now, like, that is possible for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
So, you know, to me, I mean, I think cancel culture is very real. I think these types of things happening to anybody is emotionally and psychologically extremely detrimental and dangerous. And you know, I think it's serious. I think when you say cancel culture isn't real, like, it happens all across the political spectrum to all kinds of people. You know, I think people want to cancel AOC too. You know what I mean? And like, I also think that that is fucking crazy. Like, I don't even like her.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I like her. I think sometimes she slaps pretty good. Right. But in general, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what she says, but I would definitely champion the fact that people need to leave her the fuck alone.
Yeah.
You know, and the same for this guy. People should be able to believe their beliefs, live their lives, and do their jobs, right? Without fear of, like, danger and harm.
Yeah. I mean, unless you really are a fucking asshole. Like, there is a, you know, there's some value in canceling someone, but no, like, if you're
really an asshole,
if you're like a fucking huge, like, a murderer, for example, or a rapist, like, you know, come on,
mm-hmm.
you draw the line somewhere. But I think that's the problem, is the line is,
well, if you belong in jail, go to jail.
Yeah,
right. Enforce the laws. We have laws.
Like, I mean, like, that's okay. What about, like, OJ Simpson? Does he deserve to have a fucking his football career back, even though he didn't go to jail?
No, he deserves to be in prison.
Yeah, but he's not. So he got canceled. Like, well, that sounds. I have no problem with him being socially canceled and people not allowing him to be in movies.
OJ couldn't still play football.
Okay. But like,
right? He was after that point in his career, right?
Fair enough.
But you know, he wrote books, he made shows, like, you know what I mean? He still made money. I mean, he could write take a book. It in civil suits, right?
This guy could write a book.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could write a book, right?
Yeah.
This guy's no O.J. Simpson.
No, right? Certainly not.
And to think that he has a similar fate, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think is pretty insane. You know, if you're like, well, he could still write a book. It's like, yeah, so could fucking O.J. Simpson. So could Hitler, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, anyone could still write a book.
No, I mean,
right? So could Donald fucking Trump, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. People cancel this guy because he sent a small amount of money to Donald Trump. They think that's worth destroying his career and threatening his family over. And that's absolutely ludicrous and indefensible.
Yeah. I guess my question is, do you believe in cancel culture?
Yeah, of course.
I think a lot of people don't.
I think if you cancel someone who's immensely wealthy, it has less of an impact than maybe you're thinking. But certainly, they're not immune from psychological. Yeah. But anyway, it's very few people deserve the fate that this guy got. Let me put it that way.
And I don't.
And certainly not this guy.
I try and be very logical with my morals. You know what I mean? Like, I try and divorce their. Financial security with our willingness to fucking try and destroy their lives, right? Like, I think that's also a strange thing to conflate. It's like, he's got enough money, it's okay to never let him work again, or what, you know what I mean? Like, he'll be fine. And it's like, sure, but that's not a moral place to discuss this from, right? That we're allowed to victimize people as long as the consequences will be less oppressive to them or less oppressive to their families. Right. I think we should aim higher than that.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
For sure. I can't imagine anyone arguing against that.
I know, but I think that, you know, the common, you know, he'll be fine is, you know, of the common, like, response,
just,
you know,
just because he'll be fine does not mean he deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, it's come up in this conversation a few times. It's like, well, he's a millionaire and, you know, can you cancel someone that's so wealthy? And it's like, yeah, you can't.
Do you think, right? J.K. Rowling's been canceled?
I mean, in some ways, but I think in a lot of ways, she really wants to continue down this like combative place. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a difference between, I made a donation or I did a thing to, like, if this guy was like, on Twitter being like, I support Trump. And if you don't support Trump, you're an idiot.
Get out of the
country. Like, that's fucking people are like, that's fucking crazy. And he's like, you're fucking crazy.
you're right.
You know what I mean?
That then I would be like, different.
Then I'd be like, well, like, that's a little different, you know, like,
That's maybe, more like I don't jumping think, into the culture war. Like,
yeah. I think if you want to bring your fisticuffs up and get into this shit, then I think then, maybe you don't deserve what you get, but I'm a little more, it's a little more realistic to think that these are the consequences. You've engaged this, this audience with this, like, this guy seems to be genuinely like liked and kind to people, you know, which to me is so strange. Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a pretty clear example of people's, priorities being completely fucked.
Yeah, real fucked.
And to see it like, so flagrantly defended by, you know, pretty mainstream video game journalism from a multitude of different places is really upsetting and lame and pathetic.
Frankly. Yeah, that's the part that bothers me.
Yeah,
I agree. Mean, I don't care what randos on Twitter say because they're going to, right? It's the fact that people that are reasonably well respected in this space are also like, fuck you, get out of here, I'm glad you're gone, you know, and it's like, jeez, you know, like, like a big yikes to that, right?
Yeah, I agree.
That's all we gotta talk about. Thank you so much for discussing that with me, Leo.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always fun. I know we went a little bit long, but if you did stick with us this long, thanks for listening.
You gotta hear some real heated.
I'm glad we saved it to the end. Back and forth. People are like, guys, we just want to fucking hear about E3. We didn't need to hear about your fucking. But yeah, anyway. It was fun. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, I was looking forward to talking to you about it. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you made it this long, we really do appreciate it. TechYeahPodcast@gmail, Twitter, Facebook. If you have hot takes on this shit, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, for sure.
You can definitely send us an email or tweet at Tech Yeah Podcast. Don't tweet at my personal Twitter because I don't want to get canceled.
You can't thank get you canceled. So much. You're too successful and wealthy.
Yeah, I'm too successful to be canceled. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We love you guys. And go play some games. We'll be right back.